There's like six chapters in the book of Ephesians, and it's like we're in week 14. You know why? Because when the cloud moves, we move, and when it parks, we park, and the Lord has been parked in the book of Ephesians. And last year when he said, when I'm praying and I'm submitting to the Lord, I've got my favorite books, and I'm not saying Ephesians is not one of them, but if I had my dithers, I would have taught something different. But what I do is I submit to the Lord. What do you, of your word, want taught to your church? And he said Ephesians. And he said, but let the body affirm that. I said, okay. So the next night I'm talking to one of the sisters. She goes, what are you going to start off the year with? She goes, wait, Ephesians. I'm like, all right, cool. And then the next night, another sister says, how about you start with Ephesians? And I'm like, that's affirmation. That's submitting to the Holy Spirit. That's confirmation of the Holy Spirit. And so when we start a message, I like to give an illustration, a fun story or something to apply the concept. So all week I've been dry as a bone. Like I could not think of anything about submission. Leah's like, surely you can dig something up from your past. And I'm like, well, there's not been a lot of submission in my past until I came to the Lord. But you know what I did? I said, you know what, Holy Spirit? I'm going to keep trusting you. And I'm not even going to write a note in this section. And I'm just going to submit myself to you. And I'm going to wait for you to give me a word. I'm going to submit to you to give me an illustration. And you know what he gave me? Nothing. You see, submitting to the Lord, you know what you get sometimes? You just get to submit. There doesn't have to be an ROI. There doesn't have to be a get for that. If this, then that. Sometimes you just get to submit. The blessing in and of itself is through submission. You know, the one thing that the Lord put on my heart, really the one thing this week, is submission is your permission to start God's mission. I want to tell you that if you're not submitting to the Lord and you're launching out into a ministry or anything that we're doing in our life and we're not starting first with submission, we're out there doing it on our own. Coming into submission to the Lord is your permission to start your mission. Now, I'm not saying God always gives me these words in rhymes. I figure that out on myself. But the truth is, until we're willing to submit to the Lord and submit to one another in reverence of the Lord, God's never going to free and unlock us to start our mission. Why is it important? Until you submit to the Lord in all things, you can do nothing in the Lord. So it's in reverence of the Lord that we submit. It's in reverence to the Lord that we read the anchor scripture for today. And if we'll stand and write in respect for the word of the Lord, and let's read this together as the body of Christ. And we'll begin as the body together. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is a good word. That is a good word. You know, I just want to walk through this last half of the chapter, chapter 5. And we're at 5:15, 15:17, and that's part of our anchor scripture. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Like, Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus. Paul's not evangelizing to the lost. The church in Ephesus would go on to become the largest Christian church in the civilized world. And this is what Paul's having to tell believers, don't live like fools. Why would he tell them that? Because some of them were living like fools. He says, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. If those days were evil then, believe me, they're evil today. They're more evil today. Listen, people say, we always tell you guys, are we in the end times? Are we in the end times? Yes. We are. Every second you live your life, you're 1 second closer to the end time. You'll never get that second back. And we never are going to have that opportunity back to do what the Lord wants us to do. The time to start is now. The time to start doing, making the most of these opportunities is now. You know, it says, I wrote these, I said, what do you think God wants you to do in these evil days? Well, he wants me to refinance my house, and I probably get a lower mortgage rate. And the way things are going, I'm going to stay away from Bitcoin, but I think I'm going to invest over. These aren't the opportunities God's telling you that God wants you to get involved in these evil days. He does want you to live your life and prosper, but I would submit things like sharing the gospel, making disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching others the things that Jesus said, casting out demons, and healing the sick. Like, if you're just looking for suggestions, like, well, what kind of opportunities does he want me to do? Like, if he's wanting me to live wise, like, kind of, give me some clues. Like, when Leah's looking at me like, I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like, give me a clue, Leah. She's like, so for the 10th clue in the last hour, these are your clues. These are some of the things that we should be investing in. These are the opportunities. Ephesians 5:21 says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for God. You see, and further. Like, a lot of times, I'll tell you, like, Lee and I have done marriage ministry for a long time. And ladies, I honor you, I respect you. But when that word submission gets tossed around, whoo, they get stiff in the spine. You ever seen those cat videos when they're fighting, like alligators and lions? Cats are ruthless. But when we're talking about submission and we come to this one line of scripture, you know what we miss? We miss two words, and further. You see, what Paul's saying is where you are is good. Where God wants you to go further is best. You know what further looks like? Submission. Submission. You can't go any further than where you are right now and further until you submit. To be specific, in God's own words, and further. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Look, it doesn't really matter how you feel about one another. What matters is that you're willing, out of fear of the Lord, to submit to one another. We get so caught up like, I ain't doing that. Look, when I was in law enforcement, it was so toxic, the culture. When we would have we used to take a deep sea diving trip every year, charter fishing, and you get out the invitation. You know the first thing everybody would ask? Who's going? Who's going? Because if there was one person you didn't like or you had something against, you didn't go. You know what you missed out on? You missed out on the blessing of a big pile of fish at the end of the day. I submit to you, we do that in the church. Well, who's preaching? Who's teaching that class? God's calling us to submit to one another. Why is that revolutionary in the context of this word? The one another? Like, you got to think. Go back to ancient Rome, 62 AD. It is a male-dominated world. You talk about alpha males, it is all and only alpha males. Women were second-class citizens. They didn't get to vote. They couldn't hold public office. Most of them didn't read or write. And here's Paul saying, submit to one another. He didn't divide it by the two genders, the only two genders there are. He didn't say ladies to ladies and men to one another. Think how revolutionary that was in an alpha male environment. To tell everybody, submit to one another. How many bros you think were like, to her? Yeah. To her? Yeah. You get it? One another. Why? Out of reverence to the Lord. Submission's not a dirty word. But when we want to attach our own societal values to it, it becomes weaponized. You see, the key to this message today is understanding submission. Christianity is countercultural. Submission is a high-quality characteristic of the kingdom. I'll give an example. Jesus submitted to his Father's will. What better example is there than that? There's no better example than that. And it required Jesus, the King, to do what? To submit. I want to tell you, in the West, in America, submission is a dirty word. But let me tell you what submission is not. It's not surrender. It's not dominated. It's not being ruled over. It's not being weak. What I'll tell you what submission is, according to the Greek word is hupotasso. That's what submission is. You see, it's two words, hupo, which means under, and tasso means to draw up, to order, to arrange, to appoint. It's a military term that's used. It means to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. So submission, when we break the word apart, sub under the mission, like submarine under the water, subway under the road work. Break the word apart, sub under the mission. What was the mission? Why did Jesus submit to the Father? I'll tell you what the mission is. The mission's you. You see, Ephesians 5, 25, 27 says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her that he might, this is going to be a key word, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to her himself, might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. See, Jesus was on a mission. And if Jesus was not willing to submit himself to the will of the Father, none of this would even be possible. We know that Jesus submits himself to the Father because in Luke 22, what does he say? And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Do you think Jesus was excited about being nailed to a tree? Despite that, nevertheless, your will, not mine, be done. You see, what Jesus, when Jesus submits himself, submission, he submits himself to the mission. This is what happens. Let me reread Ephesians 25, and let's make it personal. Sometimes we read scripture and we're like, oh yeah, I saw that on Facebook, you know, but let's make it personal. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Jesus also loved you and gave himself for you, that he might sanctify and cleanse you with the washing of water by the word, that he might present you to himself, a glorious you, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that you should be holy and without blemish. You see, because Jesus was on a mission, because he was willing to place himself sub below the mission, the Father's will, that key phrase, that he might sanctify his church, that he might cleanse his church, that he might present his church. And because Jesus was willing to submit, because to Jesus submission was not a dirty word, because submission was the only way to show reverence to the Father, because Jesus was willing to place himself under, beneath, below the mission, the bride's going to become glorious, spotless, without wrinkles, become holy, and be without blemish. Had Jesus decided, that ain't for me. I'm going to take another path. I like living here. None of this is possible. None of this is possible. And you think without submitting to one another that you're going to perform, you're going to activate the anointing of God over your life? If Jesus the Christ himself says, there's no other way but to submit myself to the will of my Father, do you think that you're so special that you can go your own way? Nah, that submission ain't for me. I'm going to find me another route. You can find another route, but it doesn't lead to God the Father. I submit to you that submission is not a dirty word. And you know, we're like, oh, I get hupotasso. It's a military term. Rank, order, structure, chain of command. You know why it sounds militaristic and warfare? Think about where Paul was when he was writing these books. Paul was under house arrest in Rome. Paul was physically, Acts tells us, Acts 28:16. It said, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. So they went to what you call general population. But not Paul, you see. Paul suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. What that meant was, for 2 years that he stayed waiting trial, Paul was physically chained to an elite Roman guard. Physically chained to an elite Roman guard. What did he have to do for 2 years under house arrest? He watched. He observed. He learned. He listened. So in Ephesians, when most of it sounds like a military manual, there's no wonder why it sounds like a military manual. When we get into chapter 6, spiritual armor, you know where that came from? It came from 2 years of watching this elite Roman soldier who was tethered to you by an iron chain. I tell you that submission is not buried. Submission is a place of protection while you develop. I will tell you that the seeds of God's potential are submitted beneath the soil, the fertile soil, for your protection. It's being planted, not buried. If you're at a place where you feel like the potential that God's given you, the seeds that God's given you have been buried, I will submit to you that they've simply been submitted. So God can protect you. So God can allow those seeds to decay, to die to self, to replicate, to reproduce the goodness of the DNA that's inside those seeds. Had those seeds of God's potential in your life been just cast out to the world, what happens? They get snatched up. They get choked out. You see, being submitted is God's way of protecting you, developing you, growing you. You see, the devil thought that he buried Paul. Like, seriously, who wants to sit in a Roman prison chained to some dude for 2 years? But you know what happened? It gave Paul those 2 years to just sit, to prosper where planted, to watch this guard, to observe the military training, for God to come into the fullness of understanding, the full complement of spiritual armor. See, Paul would have never come to that realization had he not been where the devil thought he had buried this old boy. Where he was where God had planted him. So I'm hopeful that we understand that the word submission is not a dirty word. That it is a word that requires us to submit to one another out of reverence of the Lord. That unless you're willing to submit in all things, God can do nothing in your life. So let's move to Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Again, what I want to say is, and this is 10 years of marriage ministry, is that when women hear that, whoo, man, his spine stiffen. I ain't submitting to him. He don't deserve it. He don't this. This ain't what we're talking about. What I want you to see, you're missing the words own husband. That's what I want you to focus on right now. Wives, only submit to your own husband. You see, in the Greek, the word own is I may mispronounce it, but it's idios, and it's private, personal, specially assigned, simply possessive. Like, wives, God is giving you the gift of ownership of your husbands. So here we go back to 62 AD, ancient Rome, alpha male. And there's a legal term, it's called in manu. And what it means is that the man owns everything. The bride and all of her possessions, the second they come into a contractual agreement, the husband and all of his family owns everything. Now, those that are married, don't raise your hands. Think about your in-laws. Maybe like a couple steps past in-laws. Think about them owning everything you have. Think about them owning you. You see, a lot of the confliction came was in that culture. Well, your dad owned you, And now your husband owns you. And it really came down to what were the terms of agreement in the contract that presented this marriage. So when Paul comes and says, wives, your own husband, means that God has given you wives ownership of your husband. How countercultural to understand that in this world, alpha male, where women didn't have the right to vote or speak or even read or write, that God is giving them ownership of their own husband. But that ownership only comes through submission. It is not a bad word. It is not a bad word. You know, but the world's going to tell you, oh, Ephesians 5:22, well, that's bad scripture. Y'all just trying to hold us sisters down. Y'all trying to dominate us. That's bad scripture. But you see, the countercultural nature of God's word is that it actually means freedom and liberation. Women are set free in Christ. Through what? Submission. The world says that don't make any sense. The word says it makes complete sense because you're not submitting of your own. You're submitting in reverence to God. Listen, let me tell you, everybody submits to somebody. Everybody submits. How do we know this? Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves to one another in fear of the Lord. You're either submitting to the Lord, you're submitting to one another in fear of the Lord, or you're submitting to something else. You're to your hobby, to your habits, to your addictions, to your own ideas. Everybody's submitting to somebody. You see, God placed the husband over the wife. Like, this is God's idea. Men didn't just get together one day in a cave with some paint on a rock and say, we got a pretty good idea. Like, ladies, us guys, we don't have that capacity. This is God's idea. God placed the husband over his wife. But let me tell you what he does. But he balances it out by giving the husband as a personal, intimate possession to the wife. Men, that's what you are. You are a personal, intimate possession of your wife. Your own husband. You see, we're both created equal, but different. And that was by design. And I want to go to Genesis 1, because this comes from the very beginning. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Like, that's the word of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not feeling like you've got dominion, if your life hasn't borne the fruit of multiplication, it might be because you're not willing to submit. It might be a little resistance, a little pride, a little hesitation. Sometimes just correction, just the way we think of things. But I want to tell you that everybody submits to somebody. And I would suggest you got your choice. Just choose wisely who you submit to. Jesus chose the Father. I suggest we do too. Now, guys, we're not out of the woods. Ephesians 5, 23-24 tells us, for a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Listen, there's a spiritual hierarchy. There's a chain of command. Being the leader means serving and sacrificing. I will tell you from personal experience, my first command assignment was in 1992. That was a long time ago. And I've been in a command position from then until I retired. And I can tell you, the key to my success was understanding as a commander and a chief of police, my job was to serve and sacrifice. Jesus came to serve and sacrifice. Husbands, your assignment is to serve and sacrifice. Let me assure you that your assignment is to be the God-ordained, gender-assigned, spiritual head of your family. Husband and wives were created equal. You're both leaders in your skill sets, but the man is assigned to be the head of that family. Men, if you're not willing to lay your life down for your wife, then you're out of scriptural order. And when I say you got to lay your life down, I mean lay down your hobbies, lay down your wants, lay down your possessions, lay down your friends, lay down your passwords, lay down your own checking account, lay down your own desires and plans for the weekend, lay down your own man cave. As the spiritual head of your family, you've got to be willing to lay your life down for your wife. And it doesn't mean your physical life, but it may. But in every day, we've got to be willing to lay our lives down, to serve and sacrifice our wives. Sacrifice and serve our wives. So sorry. I just want to make sure y'all paying attention. So listen, guys, when you do, when you come into mutual submission, when you follow the structure of the hierarchy as God's created, then the two truly do become one. I want to read to you from Ephesians 5:31-33, as the scriptures say, as a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. You see, two becoming one is more than just husband and wife. It's the way Christ and the bride. It's the way we and the church. But the only way we can become the church that will become the bride is if we submit to one another in reverence of the Lord.